Morning.
Morning.
In Soto Zen, there's a thread that runs through the history of teaching concerning light. Not so many people pick up on this, but it's there, and it's actually it appears and then disappears and then comes up and disappears. but for me, it's the vital thread of Soto Zen teaching. Master Umon from the Tang Dynasty. Umon, actually was the head of the Yunnan school, was one of the schools of Zen, but it died out fairly early in China. But there's a koan in the Blue Clip record concerning Master Yunnan saying, "Everyone has their own light, but when you go to look for it, it's dark and dim." If you look for it, you can't put your finger on it as far as an object. And so he said to the monks, "So who could say something about this?" And nobody said anything. So Inman said, "The Buddha hall, the main gate, and the kitchen pantry." Sekito Kisen talks about this in Sando Kai. The main essence of Sando Kai is about darkness and light. Master Tozan talks about it in the Jewel Mirror Samadhi. Master Hongjur, Wanshi Shogaku, coined the term silent illumination. So we have that term, silent illumination. Master Dogen wrote a commentary in the Shobogenzo called Komyo. Komyo means radiant light, sometimes translated as divine light. And then Dogen's disciple, Koun Ejo, not Koan Ejo. Koun Ejo wrote a treatise called, the only one that we have from him, called The Treasury of Radiant Light. So this thread, Konyo, is another name for Buddha nature. Buddha nature is a kind of abstract, in a way. Buddha nature, you know. But light is something experiential, more feeling experiential, and illuminating. So today I'm going to comment, as I have done before, on a talk by Wanshi Shogaku, Hongju, and this says a lot. You may remember or not, I don't know. Actually, what we do in Zazen is allow Komyo to come forth and find its expression. That's what Zazen is, basically. Sometimes people say, well, I don't experience anything like that. But we just are not aware of our of what our own experience is. As Dogen says, some may realize it and some may not, but it doesn't matter. Just keep doing it. So, light or illumination is another name for enlightenment, of course. Why call it enlightenment if it's not illumination? Hong Zhu lived between 1041 and 1157, just before Dogen, not too many years before Dogen, and he was the abbot of Tiantung Shan, where Rujing was abbot after him. So he says, with the depths clear, utterly silent, and thoroughly illuminate the source. With the depths clear, utterly silent, thoroughly illuminate the source, empty and spirited, vast and bright. Even though you may have lucidly scrutinized your image and no shadow or echo meets it, searching throughout, you see that you may still have distinguished between the merits of 100 undertakings. Then you must take the backward step and directly reach the middle of the circle from where light issues forth. Outstanding and independent, still you must abandon pretext for merit. Carefully discern that naming engenders beings, and that these rise and fall with intricacy. When you can share yourself, then you may manage affairs, and you have the pure seal that stamps the 10,000 forms. Traveling the world, meeting conditions, you fully enter samadhi in all delusions and accept its function, which is to empty out and so as not to be full of self. The empty valley receives the clouds, the cold stream cleanses the moon. Not departing and not coming. Far beyond all the changes, you can give teachings. Without attainment or expectation, everything, everywhere, comes back to the ancient ground. Not a hair has been shifted, bent, or raised up. Despite 100 uglinesses or 1,000 stupidities, the upright cauldron is naturally beneficent. Zhangzhou's answers, wash out your bowl and drink your tea, do not require making arrangements. From the beginning, they have always been perfectly apparent. Thoroughly observing each thing with the whole eye is the patch road monk's spontaneous conduct. Now, I'm going to comment on this. Suzuki Roshi used to say, or once said, when we were sitting Zazen, he used to talk a lot during Zazen. Not a lot, but he did talk to us during Zazen. Like, don't chicken out. He also said, you like loaves baking in the oven. I can see how you're getting done. So, with the depths clear, utterly silent and thoroughly illuminating. So the depths clear is like zazen. In other words, there's nothing that you're taking up all the way down. There's no hindrances. You're not interacting with phenomena. So the depths are clear. You have the opportunity to just let something come up. Utterly silent and thoroughly illuminating. Silent illumination. The source, empty and spirited. Empty means receptive, and spirited means activity. So, receptive and active. Vast and bright. Even though you have lucidly scrutinized your image, and no shadow or echo meets it, searching throughout, you see that you still have distinguished between the merits of 100 undertakings. You know, we say there's no shadow. There's nothing obstructing, right? If there's an obstruction, there's a shadow. So, I mean, no self, basically. There's no self that hinders anything. Even though you have lucidly scrutinized your image and no shadow or echo meets it, searching throughout, you still have something. You realize you still have something. And you're discriminating between the merits of 100 undertakings. So then, you must take the backward step and directly reach the middle of the circle from where light issues forth. My favorite phrase. That's called zazen. That's zazen. In zazen, we're like a glass that has no sides. It only has one side. This is how we, our perception of the reality of ourself in zazen. Just one side. There are no two sides. No duality. And so, radiance can flow in all directions. So we stand in the center of a circle. And if we realize each one of us is the center of a circle. And in our lives, these circles combine with each other and overlap. And this is called meeting. And when our circles don't project very much, we feel lonely. When our circles project far-reachingly, we feel that we have some interaction, more interaction. So these circles, millions and billions of circles, interacting with each other constantly. And it's just the variations of this light. You know, Wangzhi had a poem that's also my favorite poem. He said, "When by the side of the ancient fairy, the breeze and moonlight are cool and pure, the dark vessel turns into a glowing world." That's, isn't that your experience in Zazen?
Of course.
Would you read that again?
When by the side of the ancient fairy is like, you know, I don't know. You probably know, even if you don't know. The breeze and moonlight cool and pure. So this is sitting in a very cool, pure. We say we should have a cool head and warm feet. That's Sazen. Cool head and warm feet. The breeze and moonlight are cool and pure, and the dark vessel turns into a glowing world. Otherwise, why would we sit Sazen? So, outstanding and independent, still, you must abandon pretexts for merit. In other words, you may feel like you really have something. And so we have to be able to hide our light in the dust. Not project our wisdom. Expressing wisdom with your actions is good, but too much with your mouth is not so good. So you must abandon pretexts for merit. Carefully discern that naming, which is discriminating, engenders beings, and that these rise and fall with intricacy. So, to name something is to give it, to set it aside. It's a discriminatory activity, but we do have to do that. We name, you know, everybody's got a name, otherwise we wouldn't be able to distinguish. So that's called the discrimination which is necessary. Discrimination. But when we get caught by discrimination and we think that the name is the person or the name is the thing, then we get caught by discrimination. So discriminating doesn't help us to see things as they are or as it is. Only when we can let go of naming can we see things as it is. Because naming, as soon as we have the name, oh yeah, I know that one. And pretty soon we form an image of who somebody is. Our best way, you know, is to have no assumption. Even though I know somebody really well, I think I have to have no assumption about that person means that I can meet that person where they are instead of where my mind tells me that they are. My discriminating mind tells me where they are, who they are. So if I can do that, then I'm ready to accept who that person really is instead of being guided by who I think that person is. This is very important. When we can't let go of an idea, then it makes it harder for that person to be presentable in our eyes. So when you can share yourself, then you may manage affairs. And you have the pure seal that stamps the 10,000 forms. Manage affairs means that you can teach, actually, when you have, when everything is clear. When you can share yourself in that way, then you may manage affairs, and you have the pure seal. The pure seal is like the Buddha seal, the seal of authenticity. And that stamps the 10,000 forms. Traveling the world, meeting conditions, you joyfully enter samadhi in all delusions and accept its function, which is to empty out so as not to be full of self. Samadhi is not to be full of self. When we sit zazen, we let go of self. We let go of self-centeredness and your samadhi. It's not a big deal. Samadhi means concentration, but here in our in Zazen it means concentration without self. So it's the samadhi of merging with universal mind, big mind. Small mind is absorbed into big mind. That's samadhi. We do it whenever we sit zazen, unless we give up. So there are all kinds of samadhis. Samadhi has many names. The samadhi of zazen has many names. Dogen calls it shikantaza, just this. He also calls it jijuyu samadhi, so self-fulfilling or self-joyous samadhi. Eijo calls it komyozo samadhi, the samadhi of radiant light. So all of these are really just names for the same samadhi, but maybe from a little different aspect. So traveling the world, meeting conditions, you joyfully enter samadhi, the samadhi of conditions, the samadhi of not being caught by conditions, in all delusions, and accept its function, which is to empty out so as not to be full of self. So we meet conditions selflessly. The empty valley receives the clouds. So the empty valley is like passive, and the clouds are like drifting, maybe the thoughts that we have in zazen, if we don't cling to them, they fill the empty valley as ornaments. We don't try to get rid of thoughts in zazen. We appreciate the flotsam and jetsam of our mind. Why should we dislike it? Why should we try to get rid of it? Our mind is empty whether it's full or not. True fullness is, true emptiness is full of stuff, you know, but without being concerned about it. We can enjoy the ride, enjoy the scenery without getting involved in it, and allow the illumination to come forth. So the illumination actually illuminates the thoughts. And then the next one. Oh, let's see what this one is. Next one. If you work too hard trying to get rid of thoughts, that's just another thought. That's worse, because you're working really hard trying to get rid of something that you can't get rid of. The thoughts will always win. Oh yeah, no thoughts now. Great. That's another thought. So you can't be aware very long of no thoughts before you start thinking. So, far beyond all the changes, you can give teachings. I wrote something here. Oh, free from attainment or expectation. That's important. Just if you need to teach, you just teach. That's all. And you don't worry about the result or the attainment or whatever. You just do. So, the cold stream cleanses the moon. I like washes over the moon, but not going and not coming, or not departing and not remaining, far beyond all the changes. You can give teachings free from attainment or expectation. Everything everywhere comes back to the ancient ground. The ancient ground is the source, right? It all comes back to the source. Not a hair has been shifted, bent, or raised up. Despite 100 uglinesses or 1,000 stupidities, the upright cauldron is naturally beneficent. So what is the upright cauldron? It's from a term that's used in I Ching. Here's a definition of the from the I Ching. To change things, nothing compares to the cauldron. This is the vessel used to refine the wise, forge sages, cook Buddhas, and purify adepts. How could it not be very auspicious and developmental? It's associated with cooking, right? And so, you know, Suzuki Roshi said, you're like loaves of bread cooking in the oven, in the cauldron. So Sanzen is like, you know, an oven. We sit here for 7 days just cooking, you know, and slowly cooking and illuminating, getting brighter and brighter. On the last day of Sesshin, we all sit around facing each other at the last period of Zazen, and the whole room is illuminated, and we all experience that illumination, that great power. Zhangzhou, Master Joshu, answers, wash out your bowl and drink your tea. Those expressions do not require making arrangements. From the very beginning, they have always been perfectly apparent. Thoroughly observing each thing with the whole eye is a patriotic monk's spontaneous conduct. Joshu's drink your tea, you all know that story. Joshu is in his monastery and with his attendant. And a young monk comes and says, two monks arrive. And Joshu says to the first one, have you been here before? And this monk says, yes. We'll have a cup of tea. And then he says to the other monk, have you been here before? He says, no. Have a cup of tea. And the attendant says, Joshu. This one said he hadn't been here, and you said, give me a cup of tea. This one said he had been here, give me a cup of tea. And then Joshu turned to him and he said, attendant, have a cup of tea. And then one day a monk came to the monastery and had an interview with Joshu, and Joshu said, have you had your meal? And the monk said, yes. Joshu said, well, go wash your bowl. This is not ordinary talk. In ordinary talk, he said, so what? This is not ordinary talk. This is Joshu's Dharma talk. In those days, this is the way they used to interact. So Joshu is asking him if he's had any realization. Have you digested your meal? Have you had your meal? And the monk says, yes. And Joshu sees that he hasn't. because he knows, he can tell. So he says, if so, go wash your bowl. In other words, let go of your attainment. Let go of your attainment. This is like used abandoned pretexts for merit. I'm going to read you a little bit of Master Ajo. I've always been reluctant to read from this because he has a lot of mysterious things going on. But there are some parts that he says, he talks about Master Umang. And various koans that point to this subject. So he quotes the a lot from the Lotus Sutra, which Dogen was very interested in. So he says, the knowledge of the enlightened is light. A concentration of the light of immutable knowledge beyond the two extremes of ordinary and holy, or absolute and conventional. It is the light of the non-conceptual knowledge of Manjushri, who represents great wisdom. This becomes manifest in the effortlessness of simply sitting zazen. And then he says, so we should know that the light is the universal illumination of matchless, peerless, great light, completely filled with infinite meaning. The great being Manjushri was at that time called, he's talking about the sutra, at that time called the enlightening being, sublime light, and was the eighth son of the Buddha called illumination like a lamp made of the sun and the moon, who enabled him to stabilize unsurpassed enlightenment. The last one to attain Buddhahood was called Burning Lamp Buddha, and this is one of the seven Buddhas before Buddha. Hence we know that the sitting meditation of our school is absorption in the treasury of light inherited directly from Burning Lamp and Shakyamuni. And so he talks about great master Yunnan, 39th generation from the Buddha, said to a group in a lecture, all people have a light, and this is a story I told you before, but when they look at it, they do not see it, so it is obscure. What is everyone's light? No one replied. So the master himself said in their behalf, the communal hall, the Buddha shrine, the kitchen pantry, the mountain gate. Now, when the great master says that everyone has a light, he does not say it is to appear later on, nor that it existed in the past, nor that it becomes apparent to a few from the side, a view from the side. He is stating that everyone has a light. This is exactly what is meant in the overall sense by the light of great wisdom. It should be heard and retained, enjoyed and applied in the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. The light is everyone. Shakyamuni and Maitreya are its servants. That's another koan in the Book of Record. What is not more in Buddha or less in ordinary beings is this spiritual light. So it is existent in all. It is the whole earth and a single mass of fire. So the master said, what is everyone's light? At that time, the assembly made no reply. Even if there had been 100,000 apt statements, there still would have been no reply. And Yunnan answered himself in their behalf. The communal hall, the Buddha shrine, the kitchen pantry, the mountain gate. Thus, this answering himself in their behalf is answering himself in everyone's behalf. Answering himself in behalf of the light, answering himself in behalf of obscurity, answering himself in behalf of the assembly's lack of response. It is absorption in the treasury of light, awakening and bringing forth radiant light. This being so, it does not question whether you are ordinary people or Buddhas. It does not discriminate between sentient and inanimate things, beings. Having always been shining everywhere, the light has no beginning, no location. That is why it is obscure. It is what? It is traveling at night. It is impossible to conceive of, even in a billion, billion, million aeons. Also, among us human, the light silently shines throughout countless worlds. Before he had ever even finished posing his question, Yunnan quickly asked back, "Are these not the words of a famous poet?" The monk said, "They are." Yunnan said, "You are trapped in words." Mm-hmm. So, he goes on to the many koans that express this understanding. Matter of fact, almost all koans do. How could they not?